Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman, and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in. It is Old School 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Austin Orman here. Jay Foreman there. We good?
Nah, we ain't good.
But you, are you and I good?
Yeah, oh yeah, we're good.
Okay. That's all I care right now. That door's shut. Anything that happened outside this room, can we put it aside till break?
Nah. I'm going to take a quick break and knock Nick's head off.
Thought you already did.
I need a sledgehammer. You, Hetty Murphy.
Give me one of my favorites. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Special ingredients and butcher shop with how many Lincoln locations and Omaha locations, Jay?
Four locations. Three in Lincoln, 84th and Havelock, 30th in Yankee Hill, 85th in Andromat / Old Cheney, and 168th in Maple up there in the O. The Metro. Yeah.
We're here, 1040 O Street. Stop by, say hi. Don't forget, we have a diaper drive that we're running alongside Chuizo Construction and TMCO. That'll run through Friday. We got a big tub out front. Come by and drop off your diapers. There are plenty to get to on today's show. 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of it. We will talk plenty of Nebraska football here in hour one. Dolphins benching Tua Tagovailoa. Is it just a benching or are they moving on? We'll also dive into what Raheem Morris said about the state of the Falcons quarterback room before a conversation with Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Plenty of chatter about Terrence Bud Crawford's retirement as well. Then a final whiteboard Wednesday before Nebraska and Utah face off 2 weeks from today. Jay, I'm going to ask Evan about this, but just as the overview to this conversation here in our first segment, with Dylan Raiola announcing his intention to enter the transfer portal, that'll be the seventh straight season a scholarship Nebraska quarterback has left with remaining eligibility. And of those 7 years and seven players, it's the sixth time that it's been a starting quarterback, a scholarship starting quarterback with eligibility remaining. A sign of the times in college sports or something for Nebraska to keep in mind and try to fix?
I think that's just the way it is. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at Logan Smothers and Chubba Purdy and those guys, and even Casey Thompson. I mean, I think it just became, I mean, it's all kind of coincided with coaching changes and philosophy changes, and guys may see the writing on the wall. I don't really look at, I mean, I guess I try to look at every quarterback situation as it is. You know, one that sticks out in my mind is Justin Fields at Georgia. He never really got a chance to compete. He was behind, what's his name? I mean, he was there. He was a sophomore and played as a freshman. Jake Fromm, who was a, you know, like Georgia Player of the Year. And then obviously Justin Fields was next level. Now there was issues with the baseball team and him, which was a legit reason or kind of cherry on top for him to get in the portal. Goes to Ohio State, rest is history. You could look at Riley Leonard, you know, from Duke. Obviously, you know, he had the unfortunate, you know, the coming out party, he got hurt, and then, you know, kind of fit in perfect at Notre Dame, and I think
one-time Nebraska recruit, yeah, Riley Leonard. Yeah, Nebraska took an in-state kid over him.
Could have been a dual sport athlete as well, because homeboy mm-hmm. could hoop. Mm-hmm. And then you think where it really got started was, I know it wasn't Ron Paulus, but it was, he was a basketball player.
Greg Paulus,
oh, right? Yeah, because yeah, Ron Paulus was my age. Greg yeah, was that. Right. Remember, I think he went into,
from Duke to Syracuse.
Yeah, Duke to Syracuse. And then that kind of got it rolling. And, you know, with our situation with Dylan, here's what I'll say about it. And, you know, I've heard plenty of guys here and everywhere, you know, are guys print guys anymore? Are they, what are they? Like, Sipple, is it still like print? Or are they just,
yeah,
just, okay, so I've heard yeah, print. You got, and this is not about Sipple. This is other guys I've heard on different networks. And listening to them, it's, I just want to take a couple of days. They don't really know what they're talking about. But here's the deal when you look at it, right? Both parties were invested, both mentally and obviously monetarily, mm-hmm. and particularly obviously, right? So they were married, right? And so at the end of the day, both have, you know, are right and maybe potentially in their gripes, but whatever they are, both are wrong because probably there's some probably compromise or reality of what those gripes really are and what could have been done. That means, as you know, I need to be pulling as much as you're pulling. Mm-hmm. So I'm not feeling like I'm doing it all and vice versa.
Yeah. It's been on the same side of tug of war, not pulling the opposite direction.
Or just figured out I got to take one on the chin and, you know, for whatever. And then actually both of them are double wrong because it's a situation that, you know, you didn't get to see through at least 3 years because mm-hmm. that's what you need.
Yeah.
That's what you need to really see if you're successful. Same thing. And maybe that's where, you know, like where guys think, you know, we're at the 2 years and change your mind, change your focus and so forth and so on. And, you know, you wish them the best and Nebraska will move on and they'll, you know, figure it out. And you would, you know, hope he has, you know, success. I just think that when you get a few years down the road, and this, I've went through this in like when I was playing football, like mm-hmm. professionally, and I guess this is professional. And sometimes you make some moves and then you kind of get out of the you know, I guess the vortex or the heat of the moment. You're like, oh man, I could have handled that a lot better. Or I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have saw it through, or I would have done that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he might have that, you know, I mean, look, man, you had a great setup here and, you know, he wants to go and win and you know, be in the college football playoffs. I think I'd be hard pressed if you were my son for you to tell me that you think that we were going to be in the college football playoffs in 18 months. Not that we're not making the right steps here, because we're making the right steps here, mm-hmm. right?
Not saying the process is wrong, but so can the results get you there?
So I would push back on you. Mm-hmm. I'll push back on Dylan. I think he's a great kid and he's going to have a great future. What's done is done. I mean, you can't, mm-hmm. that's the thing when you jump out there so quick, right?
And to be fair, so quick is not as quick as we've seen other guys leave Nebraska, but he was still one of the first five high profile quarterbacks to get his name out there.
Yeah. You quick. You jumped
just like
up.
2 weeks.
You out there on Front Street. Okay. What do I say about the portal? What's my saying?
Oh, I mean, yeah, you've been in there for a couple weeks already.
A couple weeks.
At least. Awesome. Okay, but in the other example, my wife hit me with that one recently.
Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar now. But there's an example of a guy that, you know, was in the portal the next day after Iowa, you know, last year, a couple years ago. This is slightly different. And of course, there are these rumors, there are these conversations. CBS Sports was talking, you know, Nebraska might be preparing for a 2026 without it. You know, I'm sure that there was smoke before there was fire. But at the very least, there was a couple weeks before the announcement where you can at least give the appearance of, hey, I'm taking my time and thinking about it, even if the decision's been made for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I don't think, you know, I can't speak for Dom, but I know, you know, I'm sure, you know, they probably, I'd like to think that, you know, you got your ducks in a row already. Mm-hmm. All right.
Or multiple rows of ducks ready, potentially.
I would tell anybody, if you're leaving here, you better have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Like, it's already kind of signed, sealed, and delivered.
And it's so, to that Thomas and Lincoln throws out, you know, do you think Dylan goes to LSU, be under Lane Kiffin, and get his name out there more? If not, where would he go? At this point,
Lane
I think...
Lane don't run that type of offense.
No, it's not going to work.
You don't even coach quarterbacks like that.
You look at what Austin Simmons and Trinidad Chambliss, not like Dylan Raiola. Right. I don't think it's going to be a fit. But on the one hand, it really doesn't matter where Dylan Raiola goes. That's not really a reflection on him or Nebraska in any meaningful way. But Jay, just like say Adrian Martinez before him, Nebraska fans, there's going to be a portion of them that look and they'll say, okay, yeah, I get it. If he goes somewhere that's in the college football playoff next year and he's a part of it with a ready-made roster. Or they'll do Adrian Martinez and go to like a Kansas State or equivalent like that. Louisville has been a school that's thrown out there, and plenty of Husker fans will be.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Really? Them? You think you have it better there than here? And it doesn't matter. He's made his decision. It's too late to take it back. But as personal as the Dylan Raiola commitment was, that's how impersonal you have to take the transfer right now, because we just don't know everything that led to the decision.
Yeah, and you don't even know everything that led to the decision to go here.
Sure.
So we know what you know, obviously wasn't the first choice. So I mean, it's I don't think in this point in time, in this day and time, especially with his situation, you can't take it personal, because you essentially were able to do whatever was you needed or wanted in theory. You're very high profile. You had Adidas deal. You had your own clothing line, which obviously the Adidas deal is not Nebraska's Adidas school. So it kind of coincided with coming here.
See, in basketball all the time. That's not real.
Right. But you're everywhere. And, whether he goes to Louisville or whatever, I think wherever he goes, he's got to make the best of it. I think, the best thing that you can do in these situations, and I'm only talking from personal experiences, when you leave a team, or like in my case, you get traded, you can be mad. You can point, there are some things that I think, only time I think I could handle it different is how I conducted myself, I guess, with or towards Tom Donahoe, even though I was right.
Yeah.
But then also, like when I talk with my agent and then I talk to, Bobby Greer and all that, then it was like, he was like, okay, this is what they're saying that you really needed to get better at. This is why they had you at this type of contract. Mm-hmm. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And sure, sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. This is where your max is at. Junior side, say our Zach Thomas and Ray Lewis are never going anywhere. So you need to kind of be, no matter what you do, you got to understand where you're at based on the team that you're on, right? And then once you come to terms with that and really actively go work at it, then you're like, all right, it's cool. Like, I understand. Actually, it makes me a lot better player. Actually, it works out for me. Mm-hmm. Actually, it works out better for me. Now, all this stuff was kind of, some of it was like total, like BS, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. But the main thing that made me a better player was really, really good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need, that harsh reality structure. I'll tell you a cool story. And I would say I wouldn't say a soft spot, but I do have a spot in I guess you could say a soft spot for David Carr. I do.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
David Carr was the number one pick in Houston, right? We did not take Julius Peppers. Calculated. Because of the appearance, or because David was married, had kids, great. Melody's phenomenal. All of his kids are great. Brother Derek used to come in down there.
Snot-nosed punk, Derek.
Yeah, he was slanging that thing, though. But they picked him. Came from Fresno, wanted him to be the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Julius Peppers, at that time, very quiet, introverted, at that time, had like dreads or whatever,
and worst of all, went to North Carolina.
Right, but that was like they were like in Texas. They was which
you should. How's that going to play? Right. Which is
you should have probably that. The one thing I remember talking to David Carr one time, and this is where it kind of like I had I was the defensive captain. He was the quarterback. And there were some things like he never really had to go through like the rookie stuff. And we weren't a big hazing team, but there was kind of like, dude, you ain't on bus one.
Some pay your dues stuff more so
yeah,
than hazing stuff.
Yeah, you're on bus four, Jack. Yeah. You know what I mean? But then eventually Dom let him come to do that. And we weren't big. We were very like, we had rookie stuff, like, you know, buy wings and pizza and at the game.
Yeah,
I mean, just
normal.
Typical stuff, right? Yeah. But there were some things that was missing with them. They were like, we put together this, like, it was like a Ryder Cup, like 4 days of bonding. We'd go fishing offense against defense, and then we'd pick the kickers and punters, and we'd do golf, you know, kind of like
nice.
Try to get some camaraderie, oh, right? Yeah. Homeboy wasn't there. Then another time he was late, and right? And then, but then it was like, I remember I had a routine. My routine was I would get there anywhere between, depending on the day, 5:30 to 6 a.m. every morning. And I would probably leave 5:36, sometimes 7:30 at night. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we had the, you know, we had the breakfast club and all that and stuff like that. And I just, one time just came and said, look, dude, when I get here, you ain't here. When I leave, you're not here. And he was like, well, I'm getting what I said, but you're not. I said, you need to listen to what I'm saying.
Don't just hear the words.
Right. But
listen.
But he had to process it. Right. Mm-hmm. I said, you're not only the quarterback, you're the face of Houston, homeboy. You got your own cul-de-sac. He did.
Yeah.
Him, his dad, and everything got right. Yeah. They had to, right. So, but you were everywhere. Mm-hmm. You're the face of the franchise. You're the face of the team. Guys need to see you. Mm-hmm. They need to see your car, the first one there, last one to leave. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and then so that went, and obviously I went my way, and he can't continue to play. I ran into him on a humbug. He was down playing for the Charlotte Panthers,
yeah.
or Carolina Panthers, and I was living in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And both of my daughters were very young. We were at this, like I don't know, like Play It Again, not Play It Again Sports, like one of those fun house places.
Oh, yeah.
And one of David's kids was having a birthday party. And this is that time he was backing up. And I was in there just jacking around. I'm already retired and David's still playing. And he started to play. He played better towards the later in his career. Got down to Charlotte. And literally, we ran into each other. And he was like, hey, look, man, that conversation that you had with me really put me in check and understand I had to really, truly lead and be a leader of a team. And going to New York and seeing Eli and some of that stuff. So the point is saying that is like when Dylan goes, he's got to understand what he's got to get better at and he's got to really face it and you can't run from it. And he does that as well. And if Nebraska needs to get better at like, you know, hitting the portal better, then we need it. So it's all the same.
That's a great spot actually to take our first break. Dana Holgorsen talked about it. Nebraska appears to be ready to dip into the transfer portal to grab a quarterback. What does that look like for Nebraska? We'll hear from Dana Holgorsen, and then 1809, we see your text as well. I think that can play into our discussion as well. 402-464-5685. Be a part of the show on our Sutter Heyman Jewelers text line or Honda of Lincoln hotline. We'll be back to Old School brought to you by the Mercado in just a sec.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right along here on Old School, Austin Orman and Husker Hall of Famer, 8-year NFL vet, Jay Foreman with you on Old School, 3-6 weekdays, brought to you here by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Jay, we did not get a chance yesterday to hear from offensive coordinator Dana Holgorsen. We heard from him, and we'll hear from Matt Rhule coming up on Friday. But with Dylan Raiola entering the transfer portal, Dana Holgorsen did seem pretty open to the not just idea, but the eventual reality of Nebraska taking a transfer quarterback from the portal. Let's just start off first and foremost. What are the traits he's looking for in a transfer quarterback?
Tough question. You get the best available. You know, I mean, is it a you know, is it a pocket guy? Is it a dual threat guy? Is it a, you know, more of a runner? I just, you look at the overall body of work and, you know, it's just so different now where we're actively like watching quarterbacks and have been watching quarterbacks to try to make those decisions. You know, we got a whole personnel department that's been doing it and it's every position. And those guys have been doing that for months, you know? And so then it's just about looking and seeing what's available. And, you know, my job's to evaluate it. My main job is to coach TJ and the rest of the offense to get us ready to go play in a bowl game. That's number one on my list, you know? And so then, you know, after the game's over, we'll come back and that portal will open up on the second and it's going to get kind of crazy for a couple weeks.
Will you take the best available? Do you like that line from Dana Holgorsen?
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, I like it because he's like, I mean, if there's four quarterbacks or there's 10 out there and six of them are already gone, then you got to take the best available. Like, you can't make anybody come here. Now, I get what you're saying. Like, you know, all right, you know, is it kind of like, all right, we're going to budget shop or not? I think also a lot depends on how or what they really truly feel or project, maybe with TJ. What do they project or feel Trey Taylor would do coming in?
He's 2 years away. No quarterback in the 26th class, so right. He's here in 27.
Right, but if you really think TJ can take off and weather the storm next year, and if he does that, then he's your starter in 2027. If you feel like you need a stopgap guy or kind of like a holdover, then you get a guy that, you know, essentially a hired mercenary. You're coming here to put up some numbers and then go about your business. And then, you know, Trey Taylor or whoever comes in that next year. So, but then it's all projections. It's all kind of throwing it up. So really, like you got to go in there and take the best available or what you want to do. And it's also based on what you have coming back. And I'm sure I can't speak for him, but I'm assuming the way it goes, or there's no tampering laws or whatever. I'm sure you're getting some commitments or soft commitments or kind of have some things already. I hope so. Cause I mean, we're in the middle of December, January 2nd, ideally you'd be done doing the majority of your business by the 6th, by the weekend. You want to have everything, the big ones signed, sealed, and delivered.
I'm going to play it again. I'm going to stop it where I think the interesting part is.
Well, that's a tough question. You get the best available, you know. I mean, is it a pocket guy? Is it a dual threat guy? Is it a, you know, more of a runner? I just, you look at the overall body of work and.
Is it a runner or is it more of a pocket guy?
Well, we just had a pocket guy.
Oh, see, it's up to you. And if it's not up to you, this is where I've always been so high on malleability, on being able to do multiple things.
Yeah.
But at some point, Nebraska needs to figure out who it is who it wants to do. There's a lot of value in being able to be adaptable to your situations and your circumstances when crap hits the fan. But it doesn't have to be a given that the crap hits the fan.
Yeah.
If you're Matt Rhule and you're Dana Holgorsen, I get best available. You can only go through the options that are out there. But instead of, I can work with this guy, to me, for Nebraska, it needs to be, I know how to work with this guy. I can get the best out of him. Yeah. I have gotten the best out of a guy with similar traits.
Yeah.
Whether it's a pocket guy, whether it's a dual threat guy, however you want to define it, Matt Rhule and Dana Holgorsen need to be on the same page for what they want and need this offense to look like moving forward. It can't just be best available. You know, 1 year it's Casey Thompson. The next year it's, I don't know, Shea Patterson, you know, back in the day, right? Yeah. Those are two completely different guys. I get being dynamic in coaching and having a plan for whoever you can get. But there's also something to be said for knowing who you're going after so you don't have to keep tweaking things for everyone else on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I took his comment like that, but I definitely understand where you're going. You want to have an identity. And not all quarterbacks aren't the same because you could be a dropback team and you need, and then you get more of a dual threat guy. So then you got to kind of marry what your principles are to whatever he is, but you don't lose your identity.
Right.
So,
right.
I think you need to find your identity first, right? Everybody come to terms. This is what we want to do. Then obviously, then you need to find a quarterback that can kind of work within that. Now, if you get a dynamic quarterback, and we thought we had one, and I'm sure hopefully Dylan will go off and be one, and then you go from there. And then if not, you can have a guy that's very, very successful in your system as long as your identity is straight.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might have to lean more in the run game. Sometimes you might have to get to your passing tree based off of RPO action, because actually he might read the defense better that way, because that's what he's done since he's probably been in sixth grade.
Right.
Right. But he's a more than, qualified or legit. He's a legit passer based out of that. Like, for example, what Monken has done with the Baltimore Ravens when Lamar Jackson is healthy in the pass game, is my example.
Oh yeah.
Came in more of a run threat, very inaccurate pass, but they've married the principles of the offense to his skill set. And then you see his skill set in his passing become legit now.
Did you want like, 50-2 the other year? Right. 40-2, right. 40-4 through the air?
Right.
And Greg Roman was really good for him to begin with, but Monken helped him level
up. And then let's also go even before that. Josh Allen with Greg Roman first, and then Brian Daboll took it to a whole nother level based on his skill set. So that's what you want to be able to do, is adapt it, you know, to the, you don't want to lose your identity, but you want to be able to marry it to it. I think right now a lot depends on what TJ does, both in on the field and where he has options. I'm sure his phone's going to ring some, and where you want, how much you want to allocate towards that quarterback room. I do think you can get, here's an example. Alabama won the quarterback with Sims. Won a national championship with Sims.
Blake Sims and Jacob Coker are national champions.
They were, I don't think either one was drafted.
And that's where, 1809 texted that Alabama won some championships with average quarterback play, but the best offensive and defensive lines in the country. Jay, I'll give this to you first. Is it possible for Nebraska to go and buy or eventually develop the best lines in the country and save some money at the quarterback position?
I do think, but here's what you need to understand about the quarterback position. This is what the kind of the conversation that I continue to always have with David Carr. I love David, and I talk to other quarterbacks, and I learned it by having a conversation with Doug Flutie, and he was telling me how to become a pro. So I was kind of passing it along. What you need at the quarterback position is you to play the position as an All-American and as you play the position. You get what I'm saying? Versus arm talent, arm angle, and all that. That's for the, like, that's just like Steph Curry. The 40-foot threes, lead after that, brother.
Right.
Okay?
Not you.
Playing off 2 feet, playing with good fundamentals and all that stuff, that's what we're doing right now.
You can be Con Knipple.
Well, Greg McElroy was cold-blooded. A.J. McCarron was cold-blooded. Both of them have played in the league. Both of them weren't in ideal situations, but they were NFL quarterbacks. They won nationals. What did they do? They played the position at a high enough level within the team concept, and it worked out for them. Greg McElroy obviously parlayed into a pro career. Obviously, he was highly thought of enough to as a backup quarterback. Now he's on TV and having a budding, you know, media career. A.J. McCarron is in the media, and now he's a politician in Alabama. And he outkicked his coverage at home.
Ask Brett Musburger.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, still dreaming about it. But what I'm saying is like, those guys are winners. Quarterbacks are judged by wins and losses.
Always.
I mean, Troy Aikman was cold-blooded. Stats were pedestrian.
At best.
But
Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah. But when you needed him to play,
he made the play.
He led.
Yeah.
Like,
my pushback to that would be, let's just go through just the college football playoff era. And I know it's 4-12 or whatever. 2014, Ohio State, Cardale Jones, but led by JT Barrett, who was leading the Big Ten in completion percentage, touchdowns, all sorts of stats. Jay Coker in 2015, who was his running back, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
2016, college Deshaun Watson. 2017, Alabama. There you go again. 2018, Trevor Lawrence. 2019, Joe Burrow. 2020, Mac Jones. 2021 and 22, Georgia. Stetson Bennett, who, okay, maybe average, but the dude played up. Yeah. That's a winner. That's a gamer.
What did he do in the big game? Stats.
J.J. McCarthy from Michigan ends up winning the title. And then, of course, last year, Will Howard at Ohio State. So I think if you take just the last four champions, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, you would say, okay, yeah, you just need a good enough quarterback. But what do those other teams have? like 17 bajillion draft picks.
Well, yeah, and
on both sides of the
ball. The other ones in there. Throw Lawrence, throw Watson in there, and throw Joe Burrow in there.
Tua, when he threw the walk-off. Right. Yeah.
But yes, they were obviously really, really. That's when you have. That's why they talk about LSU being one of the top four teams of all time, because you have a really, really good quarterback with really, really good talent, right? So that's what you get. But when you talk about the other ones, like Deshaun Watson and all them, yeah, you they had Sammy Watkins and all that, you know, them and guys on the outside and, you know, ETN and all that, right? But they played the quarterback position at an efficient enough level. The efficiency level was so good and so consistent, it allowed other people that were really, really good flourish. So, yes, you're 100% right. We need somebody that's going to play the – and this is also when we're saying it. You know, this is what I think people also when, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, screw Dylan. Like, he was pretty efficient. Like, you know, throwing a short area pass game. Now, probably needs to get more accurate on the deep ball, right? Probably needs to have play with a little bit more urgency in the pocket.
He was a singles and doubles guy, not a doubles and homers guy.
Sure, but to get to the homers, I'll tell you about the David Ortiz story. What took him to? I mean, it's living proof. You can get there. So what he was doing worked, but we needed it. What did I always say? What did I say when he came here? I said everybody else around him has to raise their game up to a higher level.
Yeah.
Stakes have just gotten higher.
You tripled down.
That means you can't just be open. You got to be wide open.
Open.
You just can't block your guy and say, I did my job. You got to punish and finish, guys.
Bury him.
You got to bury him. Defensively, you have to set the edge. Not only you have to set the edge, you got to condense the formation by setting the edge. You got to become that much smarter. You got to become that much better at communication. So, yes, Dylan leaving is a huge thing, but also it's everybody else needed to play, you know, play at a higher level. And at times they did, just not on a consistent level. But that's what made those teams really, really good. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, think about it. When Cam Newton won the national championship, like one of the best college players of all time.
Certainly one of the best college seasons of all time.
Yeah, I was just about to correct myself. One of the best college seasons of all time. Naming, besides Robinson, the tackle, I think, he was a young guy there. And they had the big defensive tackle that had the health issue. He had the heart issue.
Was that Lutzenkirchen guy on the team? He was going to go pro and then tragically pass or something
Graham,
like that.
Graham, the running back, that was just a guy. He played a year or two, but nothing special.
No.
But what happened when you needed him the most? Needed them the most.
Cape came on.
Yeah. But they played at a high enough level based on him playing the quarterback. The quarterback position. Let's forget about the Cam's the size of a defensive end. It was a 4-5. When he needed to play the quarterback position, he played it. Another one, Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Freshman Jameis.
Right. Sure, you had Nick O'Leary, right? He was really good, but didn't do much in the league. They had some other guy, right? They didn't, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't NFL talent around there, right? Like that year. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm sure they were Calvin Benjamin.
I'm trying to look it up right now.
I mean, because they had Benjamin, right? The tall receiver.
Think so.
But they didn't have any guys. They weren't like surrounded by first round picks, right?
Carlos Williams, Devontae Freeman, Calvin Benjamin, Nick O'Leary. The guys that stand out on offense.
Freeman and Benjamin. Benjamin ate himself out of the league. He was at Carolina and then Buffalo. Came in as a wide receiver, left as offensive tackle.
Yeah, these are just returning starters. Three returning starters on defense. Telvin Smith, PJ Williams, and Mario Edwards.
There you go. And Telvin Smith retired out of nowhere. He was really good until he decided, you know what, I want to do something else. Mario Edwards was drafted high, and he's kind of a rotational player. So what I'm saying is when the team is good, okay, when everybody's invested in winning and you're playing within the team at the quarterback position, everybody flourishes and everybody eats.
And this is where I think it's important to highlight a distinction between college and NFL.
Yes.
In college, I think the distinction is that if you get that crown jewel quarterback, that can attract more talent there. You know, we talked with Brian Munson on Monday. We've seen it time and time again. You get that centerpiece of the class, a guy that has a bunch of connections, that has buddies. You can draw talent there. Sometimes the problem in the NFL is that you build up too much of the infrastructure and then you have to go all in on this rookie quarterback by trading away a bunch to get him. You have to hope he's good right away or else you're screwed for the next 5 years because you're out of draft capital. Or you build up the infrastructure and you're too good to draft one of those quarterbacks, no one wants to trade with you because they see you're just a quarterback away and you're stuck. Flip side of that, Cam Ward is not running into this problem. That Titans roster is so bad.
Yeah.
But Josh Allen ran into this at times. Lamar Jackson did. Even Patrick Mahomes at times,
right
too.
Even right now, defensively, yeah. Buffalo.
You can be, your quarterback can be too good after a sense, right? You hit on him. You did exactly what you wanted. But now you're picking lower. Harder to get those premium picks to fill out the rest of the roster around them, which is where, when we talk about what Nebraska needs at the quarterback position, you can go both ways, right? You can try to invest in the infrastructure on the lines on both sides of the ball. That's the Iowa model. Or you can chase the flash. Go get your next five-star quarterback. Go get your Trey Taylor that has connections and then hope that he brings guys with him. Go get a Lonnie Teasley to try to bring guys in alongside him.
Right.
We've seen it work both ways in college. Mm. There's not as many ways to make it work in the NFL.
Yeah, because there's a thing that where you got to pass it through the owner and all that other stuff. So you're not able to kind of peer recruit in. Also, you can do that more freely in college because it's a one-way contract.
Yeah.
Like you can literally go to five colleges. Heck, there's what TJ Finley, the quarterback, is going to be seventh year of playing. So I don't know how he's done it, but and heck, the guy from Miami last year was 9 years in it. I mean, now granted, his was injury, you know, caused, but that is the big difference. And also, I think the big difference in college versus the pros, like, you're not going to win a Super Bowl unless you have a dude at quarterback. The guys are too good. Mm-hmm. In the college, you can win as long as you have a guy that plays the quarterback position like a dude.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to me. In the pros, you have to have a bona fide franchise quarterback within reason.
For like 21 weeks of the year.
Right. To win.
Mm-hmm. Give yourself a chance.
To give yourself a chance, let alone win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
In college, you have to have a quarterback that plays like a dude and is bona fide at the position of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That means he does little things, get you in and out of the huddle, get you in and out of bad plays. He obviously makes big-time throws when he needs to. If you want to look at it, look at Will Howard. Was a very, very productive player at Kansas State. Got hurt. They brought in Avery Johnson. He played a little bit. Heck, I think he played in the game up there and they were snowing. Mm-hmm. And he had to, you know, and then they kind of put him back on the bench. He saw the writing on the wall, but he was mature. He was tough. He was a multi-sport athlete in high school, and he was competitive. And he played them, and he had what also he had is what Ohio State needed is a little bit of I'll show you / F you when we're backs against the wall. Realized he didn't play well against Michigan, took 2 weeks off, and was the leader and had the leadership style to bring out the best in that team. And he made a big-time throw. To win it.
When he needed to.
Right. Now he ended up going, what, sixth round to Pittsburgh? And he'll do the same thing there. He's got to cut his teeth. He's got to figure it out. And he'll probably have a pretty nice NFL career.
Yeah.
And he won a national championship. No different than Riley Leonard.
Sure.
Wasn't nothing special. Mm-hmm. He was able to bring out the best in other, like, players.
Started to do that at Duke. Notre Dame liked it. And then toward the end of the year.
And Notre Dame didn't have much talent on the outside, and they were able to kind of work the stuff around him. So that might be where you need you, where you get a guy, you know, like that's, and this is not even, I mean, it's hard to say this where I was, you know, like saying like, you know, Dylan wasn't part of the team, but you just need to, you know, there's, it's just a, I guess the way you have the decisions made, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you got it. Now is business isn't stopping here.
No,
it's not going to be the first, not going to be the last. Now this isn't going to be, you know, they've been recruiting at a high rate. This isn't going to be the last. I hope it's the last, but it's most likely not going to be the last high-profile player or recruit.
Mm-hmm.
They either didn't work out or decides to leave. And it'll be no doing, bad doing. It's not the
– that's guys falling into the world. Yeah, he wasn't
treated fairly or no. That just said, you know, these guys are finicky.
We're going to play one more cut from Dana Holgorsen, but Jay, here just in like the next minute or so. Dana Holgorsen said there are pros and cons to Nebraska taking a young guy to compete alongside TJ Lateef, first starting quarterback for next year, or taking an older guy to maybe push him or maybe more mentor him and be there as an insurance policy. With what you've seen from TJ Lateef and what you think Nebraska needs to do to best position itself for future success, do you err on the side of a younger guy alongside TJ Lateef or an older guy?
Man, that's a tough question. I mean, I think he's got all the tools. I'd like to think that, you know, a full off season and him being able to dive into the playbook, them being able to kind of curtail the play calls to his skill set, understand his skill set better.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though he came in, you know, you could see he had some talent. Dylan was the guy. That's the focus because we got to win games. maybe bring in a guy that, you know, that's played it and have been successful at some point and got to push him. In the worst case scenario, that the guy ends up starting and then TJ has to raise his game up to beat him out. But the older guy would probably, because I think the older guy, if he's the right guy, right, is can provide some leadership guidance as well with good competition.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that you need right now in, let's say, in America, and I mean in all 136 teams,
yeah,
college football, mm-hmm, Division One, is you need leadership.
Yeah.
You need guys that will lead, not only just push buttons, bring you along, that are invested in football. That's what, mm-hmm, we need. Guys that are really about that life.
Yeah.
Because that brings a foundation to when you have moving pieces on it every day or every year, mm-hmm, that what the standard is in that room.
Yeah.
It's already there, mm-hmm, because there'll be enough guys left over that'll replicate that. So if you come in as a safety, you already know this is how we do things, even though you came in on an NIL deal or, you know, whatever, free agency deal.
Yeah.
That's the best case scenario.
Remains to be seen. Nebraska, yeah, trending toward taking a transfer quarterback. We'll see which direction the Huskers end up going. We are headed to White Boy Wednesday, Whiteboard Wednesday at 5. Plenty more to talk about, though, in the 4 o'clock hour before another look at Utah. Jay Foreman will do that for you at 5. But some exciting white boys in the news. We'll talk about them next. We're back here wrapping up hour one on a Wednesday. Beautiful Wednesday here in the capital city. Appreciate everyone's thoughts here on our starter Heyman Jewelers text line. 8356, sorry we didn't get a chance to get to your text on air. Appreciate your kind words there on our starter Heyman Jewelers text line. It's White Boy Wednesday. It's that time of the week. First shout out goes to Duke head coach John Shire, fastest coach in ACC history to reach 100 career wins. Wasn't easy for Duke against Lipscomb yesterday, but they get it done. All right, Jay, Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Youngest player.
He went off.
Youngest player to score 40. First 18-year-old to score 40.
Yeah.
Since took it from LeBron. James had the previous 18-year-old career high at 37. Cooper Flagg matches his college career high. Had 42 against Notre Dame. It was 42-6-7 against Notre Dame. 42-7-6 for the Mavs. The thing, though, that really stands out to me and others about Cooper Flagg, though, is some of the clutch numbers. Think back to last year at Duke. They play Kentucky in the Champions Classic. Doesn't go Duke's way. Why? Because Cooper Flagg spun into a double team, got stripped. Kansas, turnover. Clemson slips on some sweat down on the baseline, and then Houston misses the shot in the final second. So Cooper Flagg's not clutch. Can he really hack, you know, see the centerpiece of an offense? How about this, Jay? This is from just a couple days ago. Actually, just today, because it got tweeted out. In the NBA, there are guys that have taken more crunch time shots, game-tying or lead-taking shots in the final 5 minutes in the NBA so far this year. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's taken 23 of them. Tyrese Maxey, 27. Cade Cunningham, 19. But Cooper Flagg's taken 17 of those clutch field goal attempts. He's made 12 of them.
Yeah.
You know, some of that stuff at Duke, we talked about a little bit on this show and others, was easily scoutable, right? Mark Pope knew he was going to spin. Kansas knew he was going to spin. Houston knew that the shot and the play that Duke was going to run. Okay, that's on Duke. That's on Cooper Flagg to a degree. But some of that was, he actually did get some looks. He just didn't go down. And now 12 of 17 probably won't last. A 71% field goal percentage in the last 5 minutes, that's bound to come down to earth. But still, I think that was kind of a silly knock last year when Cooper Flagg helped get Duke in some of those positions. He wasn't just not clutch, as a player.
Yeah, and they got other players that are legit, and especially if Clay's going, it's more favorable matchups. And, you know, sometimes where you see this a lot, obviously, in football as well. You see, like, you know, J.J. Watt having 8 sacks at Wisconsin, and he ends up, you know, almost breaking the NFL sack record and defensive player of the year, you know, high teen sacks back-to-back-to-back-to-back years, right?
Right.
And so same thing with Cooper Flagg. I think you're in a more the college game is significantly different than the NBA game. That's why they project guys to be a lot better than they are at times in college. And him down the clutch, I think he's invested enough in basketball. He's learning from every one of those situations. And I think it really helps him that he's in an organization with Jason Kidd as the head coach that puts him in the right position to be successful, and is working out for him right now.
Last shout out on White Boy Wednesday, we go to the hockey rink. Leon Dreisaitl.
Yeah,
Jay, how points. About this? 1,000 points, first German to accomplish that feat. First German player to record 1,000 NHL points, and the fourth fastest active player to reach 1,000. He did it in 824 games. The names ahead of him: Nikita Kucherov, best known for his time with the Lightning; Sidney Crosby; first ballot Hall of Fame type of guy, and of course his teammate Connor McJesus, yeah, McDavid.
Yeah, now they just need to stay in the club. Stanley Cup, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every year you find yourself pulling for them. They're getting closer and closer. And hopefully that Edmonton can get over the hump this year.
I actually got to see Edmonton when I was in Vegas for the Crown.
And did everybody play?
No, yeah. McDavid was out.
McDavid was out?
Drysdale played, though. I think Edmonton won, too.
Yeah,
they beat the Knights.
And they're pretty good.
They're solid. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hockey's definitely an exciting sport. It live.
Did you ever contemplate high school hockey?
I did. I wanted to play hockey. I just couldn't skate, and I couldn't afford it.
Ah,
you know,
they can't even just like loan you some skates and pads just for you to go be the enforcer or something.
No, I was trying to be the Black Rain Gretzky,
PK Subban before PK Subban.
I was when we were playing, you know, back in the in the garage. You know, I love hockey, man. I mean, you got to think one of my first memories when I moved to Minnesota is they had a guy that played for the Minnesota North Stars, like Dino Ciccarelli.
Oh, I love that name.
And he was on another team, but he was living there, and also he mooned our bus. he was a wild man, though. Yeah, and you know Mike Modano used to.
Oh yeah,
he was 18. His little red Porsche was picking up somebody when I was driving my hoopty home.
Yeah,
yeah.
These things happen, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I was a big hockey fan. Liked it, but I just couldn't play it.
Understandable. We will go to break. How much more does Tua Tagovailoa have left in the tank? Not a couple more games this year. What does the future hold for the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa? Can they get out of the contract mess? And plenty more. That's all ahead here on Old School.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.